Hello and welcome back to Cover to Cover and to our series of short podcasts about Shakespeare's Hamlet. This time we're talking about Ophelia. And to do that successfully, I would like to refer to three of the prominent film versions that have appeared over the last 50 years. The 1964 film by the Russian director Kuznetsov with Anastasia Vetinskaya playing the role of Ophelia. I'm talking about the 1996 lavish 19th century version of Hamlet directed by Branagh with Kate Winslet in the role of Ophelia, and the 2009 BBC production in which David Tennant plays Hamlet and Maria Gale plays the role of Ophelia. A tremendous challenge for an actress to take on such an iconic role. Ophelia doesn't have that many lines, especially when compared to Hamlet, but her role is absolutely crucial to the play, and she must relate convincingly to her brother in that initial scene, Act 1, Scene 3. She needs to relate, obviously, to her father, who gives her advice in a typically paternalistic and rather insensitive manner. She needs, obviously, to relate to Hamlet himself. And, of course, then she must also play the mad scenes when she is losing her mind and heading towards suicide. If we take the Branagh film first, of course, Kate Winslet is a superb actress, and the fact that Branagh chooses to set Hamlet in the 19th century means, of course, that when it comes to the mad scenes, Branagh is able to use the Victorian approach to dealing with mental illness, and it gives us some remarkable scenes. There's one in which Ophelia is being hosed down with a jet of water, and she's huddled into the corner of this room, and this strong jet of water is bursting over her. And finally, when the person stops this treatment, current in the Victorian era for dealing with mental illness, and retires from the room, she opens her mouth and she has, in fact, secreted on her tongue the key to that room, and that will allow her to escape from that room and eventually go to the brook where she will commit suicide. Of course, it also means that Branagh is able to use a straitjacket. Ophelia wears a straitjacket and has her hands strapped to her sides. And in fact, the buckle is loosened by the Queen at one point when they are together. But what is even more significant is the fact that in his version of Hamlet, Branagh chooses to make Hamlet and Ophelia lovers in the physical sense. And there are shots early on in the film of them in bed together, and they appear to have a happy and successful sexual relationship. This, of course, means that the famous nunnery scene in Act 3, Scene 1 happens in a slightly different manner in the Branagh version. Hamlet and Ophelia initially meet a little bit off to one side, where they are not observed by Claudius and Polonius, and they kiss, and there is obvious tenderness between them. And then, of course, as Hamlet becomes suspicious about being observed and feels that his feelings for Ophelia have been betrayed by this dishonest spying situation into which he has been entrapped, the scene gradually becomes more violent, and there is this very powerful moment when Hamlet drags Ophelia along by the arm as he rips open the doors with these mirrors on them to see if the king and Polonius are hiding behind one, and then it ends up squashing Ophelia's face against the glass while the king and Polonius look from the other side. Everyone who is a Shakespeare enthusiast has their own views about how these plays should be played and how roles should be interpreted. Personally, I would not make Hamlet and Ophelia lovers. To me, part of the way I see the play is that Hamlet, as I was saying in the earlier podcasts, brings, when he arrives back in Denmark, this disillusionment coupled with romantic disappointment. And to me, one of the things he sees in Ophelia is a type of purity, something unworldly, something free from taint, something that can develop and bloom and blossom, and that is like a balm, B-A-L-M, like a balm to his disillusioned and disenchanted soul. As Hamlet comments to Rosencrantz and Guildenstern when he first meets them, you know, "I have of late, but wherefore I know not, lost all my mirth, forgone all custom of exercise, and indeed it goes so heavily," etc., etc., etc. Is this the sort of thing you would say if you were in the full flush of a warm, loving sexual relationship with a beautiful young woman? Personally, I do not think so. Of course, the actress is not alone in taking on this role. There is the director, and to quite a significant extent, the actress depends on the integrity of the director's view. The 2009 BBC version of Hamlet is a marvellous piece of work. David Tennant in the title role, Patrick Stewart famously playing Claudius and playing it superbly, Penny Downey also excellent as Gertrude, two wonderful actors playing Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, and Maria Gale strong in the role of Ophelia. But when you look at the way Hamlet and Ophelia interact during the play within the play, they have a kind of very easygoing, nonchalant, very modern 21st century flirtatious style as they casually drape themselves around each other on sitting on the floor as they watch the play within the play. The sort of knowingness that Ophelia has in that scene is mirrored in Act 1, Scene 3, where we see her with her brother, and there's a wonderful moment when Laertes has been sermonizing and saying, "Oh, be careful with Hamlet, he's only playing with you, and, you know, be careful not to get involved in a physical relationship with him, etc." And Ophelia walks down to his suitcase, which he's prepared to go back to Paris, and pulls out of it two condoms and says, "Yes, and are you giving me one speech while you do something completely different?" And it's a nice moment where, again, it's quite a knowing, worldly wise Ophelia. But to me, watching their version, this clashes very much with Act 3, Scene 1, in which she plays a much more innocent victim, and all that worldly wisdom has suddenly disappeared. And I find it hard to weld these visions together. So let me put my cards completely on the table and say that to me, the performance given by Anastasia Vetinskaya in the 1964 version of Hamlet by Kazantsev is the definitive Ophelia. And to me, the glory of her performance is, of course, in large part due to her magnificent acting ability. But of course, it's also a very harmonious collaboration between her and Kazantsev, who had a profound understanding of Shakespeare. Every scene in which Ophelia appears in the Kazantsev film is utterly memorable. We first see her, of course, in Act One, Scene Three, when she's seeing off her brother Laertes, who's returning to France. And of course, once he disappears, then her father says to her, "Yes, you know, well thought. What did Laertes say to you about Hamlet?" And Ophelia replies, "He hath importuned me with love and honourable fashion." And she speaks with spirit and with character, with strength. But then, of course, as her father leaves, she returns to this little dance routine that one senses immediately she is obliged to practice on a daily basis. And it goes sort of a da 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 di. And she has to make these dance movements, but which are joyless, which are mechanical. There is no smile on her face. There is no animation. She's simply going through a very formal dance movement, an imposed movement. And one feels immediate sympathy for this young woman who is shut into this court system, this patriarchal system, this system in which she as a young woman has no power. And indeed, to digress for a moment, part of the tragedy of Hamlet stems from the fact that women have no agency. And I mean this in an extremely literal sense. Shakespeare's tragedies end with death. His comedies end with weddings. And almost invariably in the comedies, the characters that usher in those weddings, that bring the solutions, that allow life to continue and to flourish, are women. In As You Like It, of course, it's Rosalind. In Twelfth Night, Viola. In Much Ado About Nothing, Beatrice, etc., etc. Often they are obliged to leave home and go somewhere else to escape their initial locale or location. They may indeed be obliged to dress in men's clothes, but it is the women characters that have the wit, the intelligence, the inventiveness, the strength of character, and the moral clarity to bring the solutions. This doesn't happen in Hamlet. Women are denied that possibility. And this is one of the reasons why the whole situation rushes towards tragedy. As I was saying earlier, I don't feel any love or indeed any real affection even between Hamlet and Ophelia in the BBC 209 nunnery scene. Of course, one does feel it between Brenner and Kate Winslet. We know that they are lovers and we see the tenderness. We observe it in that scene. But the scene between Smolenovsky and Vertinskaya in Kazantsev Hamlet, the Act 3, Scene 1, the nunnery scene, is extraordinary. It's an absolutely splendid scene, and I'm just staggered by the amount of understated electricity those two actors generate in such a short time. Hamlet more or less throws Ophelia against a wall and has his arm across her chest and brings his face and lips very close to hers, and you can feel the desire, you can feel the sexual energy and tension. But of course, it is the era is crackling with distrust. Hamlet knows that he's being observed, and we know that this love, which could be medicinal for the whole disjointed system that exists, we know that it will be snuffed out in this scene by the weight of distrust that surrounds them. In the Russian Hamlet, after Polonius's death, Ophelia puts on a mourning dress, and in putting it on, she puts on first a farthingale. In other words, a structure often made of whalebone that allows women to have one of those very wide and ample skirts. And we see Ophelia being enclosed in this farthingale and slightly wincing as she is shut into it. And then she is dressed in this suffocating black mourning dress, and a veil is put over her head. It's a tremendous image of loss, of confusion, and of confinement, imprisonment, and grief. Ophelia goes out into the same hall where she met Hamlet during the nunnery scene, and squinting, she squints her eyes and she holds up her hands, and we actually feel her losing the acuity of her five senses as she begins to recede into her own grief. And at one point, while she's out in this hall and there are various old Russian ladies around her, like crones, we have this wonderful word in English, crone, C-R-O-N-E, crones, dressed in always in dark clothes like priestesses of death that surround her, and they never speak, they just observe. They are integrated into the machinery of state and the machinery of formal ceremony. And at one point, one of them again plays this da-da-da, da-da, da-da, da-da music, and Ophelia is frightened and immediately starts to execute like a puppet the same mechanical, joyless dance movements that we saw at the very beginning of the play. So, to summarize, for me, and of course we all have our own opinion and our own impressions, our own way of looking at these things, but to me, in the Kazintsev Hamlet, you have a perfect marriage of a brilliant young actress with a wonderful director, a director who could feel in this play of Hamlet the tragic confinement of the situation in which Ophelia finds herself, and also the type of character that Hamlet really is. Curious, restless, disillusioned, disappointed, confused, explosively passionate, a tempestuous nature. One of the tensions in the play is between the calm of those Montaigne ideas, so well represented by Horatio, and the naturally explosive personality of Hamlet. And of course, Hamlet also, as I have suggested earlier, brings to the castle the romantic disappointment that he suffered back in his student life in Wittenberg. And that's why it's so tragic and touching that the balm, the repair, the possibility that a successful love affair and marriage with Ophelia would have represented, how that could have brought not only tranquility and contentment and a new optimism to Hamlet's tortured soul, it could indeed have brought happiness to the whole state, It's a tragedy, and it is not to be.